So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A. Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview. In a front page story this week, the Wall Street Journal said Wisconsin had the tragic distinction of reporting the first vaping-associated pulmonary injuries, the medical shorthand VAPI. For an update on the vaping crisis, thanks to Andrea Palm, Secretary of the Department of Health Services, for joining us. Secretary, welcome back to Wisconsin Eye.
Thank you. Good to see you again.
I'm just curious. Let's start with an overview. What have you learned about e-cigarettes and vaping in the 9 months you've been on the job? Mm-hmm.
On-the-job training, Steve. I think that's what they call it. I think for me, one of the most interesting and surprising things that I have learned is how much parents are struggling with what vaping is, with what e-cigarettes are, with how it's not the pack of cigarettes that they remember sneaking off the coffee table when they were in high school, and the anxiety that that creates for them about what to look for, how to think about it, how to talk to their kids, what the health impacts might be. And so we at the department are trying to work really hard to help parents know what to look for, know how to talk to their kids, so that we're providing that kind of public health service in a time where folks are really struggling to know how to get their arms around this problem.
Right, and we'll take a look at one of your PR videos in a minute. For purposes of this conversation, can we use e-cigarettes and vaping interchangeably, or maybe not?
Sure.
Can we?
Sure.
It seems to me that the whole e-cig vaping issue has just exploded ahead of the ability of politicians and regulatory agencies and medical professionals to get ahead of it. Is that an unfair assessment?
Mm-hmm. Well, the Congress enacted a law in 2009 to regulate tobacco products, and e-cigarettes were one of the things that were on the statutory list once the FDA pulled them into their regulatory framework. Mm-hmm. And so in the intervening years, we have seen, as you suggest, an explosion and a real shift from combustible tobacco products, your traditional cigarettes, yes, to these vaping products, which are, you know, aerosolized nicotine, as opposed to, you know, light them up and smoke them, traditional cigarettes. And so that shift in the marketplace has really left, again, parents not necessarily knowing what to do, clinicians not knowing what they might see as it relates to illness or disease, and the regulatory entities trying to catch up with a marketplace that has just grown exponentially as they have moved from selling traditional cigarettes more to selling e-cigarette-type products.
Can you remind me what the governor recommended in his February budget in terms of taxing these products, and what joint finance, what ultimately became law?
Mm-hmm. So the governor recommended equalizing the tax burden between traditional combustible tobacco products and e-cigarettes, because what we know in the tobacco control space is for every 10, increases in price of tobacco are correlated directly with decrease in the use, and that kids are particularly price sensitive. And so using price for e-cigarettes as well as tobacco products can drive down consumption of nicotine. And so our goal was to do that, particularly for kids who have less disposable income to purchase these products.
And the lawmakers only approved a part of that?
Yeah, 5 cents.
5 cents.
Yep, yep. Okay. So we'll keep raising this issue, certainly, because the evidence is very clear about the price sensitivity, particularly, as I said, of youth when it comes to purchasing these products.
What about the two foundational premises with e-cigarettes? Number one, it would help someone no longer use traditional cigarettes, and that number two, it's a better choice. It's not as harmful. Are those both fallacies?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what we all would hope is that the producers of e-cigarettes would do the scientific work needed to show less harm. I think people...
The industry has not done that.
No, and
excuse
as part of the... Right, no, no, not at all. As part of the regulatory oversight at the FDA, that is one thing that they will have to do if they want to come onto the market over time, is prove the public health benefit or a lack of public health harm. That's the regulatory framework. And so you know, there are currently FDA-approved cessation products. E-cigarettes are not one of them. So the idea that any more than anecdotally they are helping people quit is not a subject of fact. And this idea that they're less harmful, I think, remains to be seen as well. I think it's instinctually a combustible product seems and sounds more dangerous. But what we don't know is, you know, some of the other chemicals that are in these products, some of the fine particulates, the inorganic chemicals, the heavy metals. We don't know a lot about the contents of these products to say that they or to allow claims of greater safety than a combustible product.
Do you think vaping has now risen to be the single greatest health crisis facing young adults in Wisconsin?
I think considering the lung disease we're seeing, it is absolutely a significant issue. I think in the public health space, you know, we've also seen a decline in immunization rates. You also continue to see binge drinking as an issue. And, you know, suicide among youth is the second leading cause of death. And so I think there's lots going on for kids, and being a kid is more complicated than it's ever been. And so how we as a public health agency walk and chew gum and do what we need to on vaping, but also do what we need to in these other spaces is critically important.
Does your agency have the tools to continue to investigate vaping, or is that a federal duty?
So we've got a great partnership with the CDC. Obviously, as you mentioned at the top, we were the folks who threw up the flag about this cluster.
July 25 press conference at Children's Hospital.
Yes.
Went out nationally, excuse me.
Yes, no. And it was our partners at Children's Hospital who first alerted us. They alerted their local county public health officer, Ben Jones, who then called us. And it was the work of that team that led to that press conference, that then led to the department sending out a notice to clinicians across the state to be on the lookout for this. It looks like pneumonia. It's not pneumonia. It requires different treatment. And so that raising awareness so that we don't lose time in the treatment was a critical first step. We then got a call from a physician in Illinois who saw that memo.
Yes.
So then we connected with the Illinois department and realized it was more than just Wisconsin. And then we made the call to CDC, who then, to their credit, have really helped make the nationwide investigation be something where we're all using, for example, the same case definitions. We're all gathering the same data. We're all asking the same questions when we talk to patients, so that when you try to build the scientific evidence around this outbreak, you've got really good data and you can make generalizations nationwide, which I think is really an important part of what this investigation is about, is advancing the science around how you treat this and hopefully ultimately what caused it, although we may not ever know the answer to that question.
We fortunately haven't had any deaths in Wisconsin.
Correct.
Okay, as Correct. Of now. But the average person to come down with this disease between 18 and 35, and is it does it show any racial bias, or is it all races?
Yeah, no, we've not seen any differentials there, and we now have a few cases among older folks, 50s-ish as well. So it doesn't, while youth is where it started, it does not seem to discriminate based on age either.
Okay. Let's talk about some stats from your agency. Your agency talks about high school students, and it shows 154% increase in e-cigarette use, the baseline 2014 to 2018. How alarmed are you at that?
Yeah, that's a huge increase, and I think particularly when you compare it to adult use of e-cigarettes, which is only around, you know, 4%. So again, this idea of flavors and attractiveness to kids, and the myth that they are a safe thing to be using, is a place where we really need to do better public outreach and education.
And then a couple more stats from your agency. One in four of those high school students who have used, who have ever used e-cigarettes first tried before the age of 16. So that in your intervention or your PR, you're trying to reach parents of children as young as 13, 14, 15?
Absolutely.
Is that the window?
Well, I think...
Of when they start experimenting? Excuse me.
Yeah, I think that you start to see static in the system a little younger, but the prevalence is really among high school students.
And then 16% of e-cigarette users also smoke conventional cigarettes mm-hmm. in high school. That surprises me, but
yeah, I think the use of multiple products of switching is probably is too common and is an indicator that the nicotine addiction could lead to using combustible products, which is exactly the opposite place we want to
go. Any theories on why Wisconsin was the first to report what's now called, let me get the term right, vaping-associated pulmonary injury? Mm-hmm. Why did it start here, Ms. Secretary?
I really think this is, I mean, this is just such a fine example of good public health. And a physician at Children's Hospital who noticed similarities among a number of cases and was alarmed enough to make the call to suggest that it wasn't pneumonia. They didn't know what it was, and they were having trouble getting their arms around treatment. And so the idea that you would tell public health, that you would engage them as a team to really get to the bottom of this and figure out, is it more than just three or four kids here at Children's? Is it a bigger thing? How do we deal with this? How do we not get it to a point where we've got a death? Was just a really real credit to Children's Hospital, and then to the people in public health who got the call and didn't just say, "Oh, it's nothing." Mm-hmm. So people being really vigilant, being really dedicated to public health, being really committed to the people of this state, and not letting what could have been dismissed and maybe has been before we really raise the profile and the awareness around it, so that we can start to really tackle the right kind of treatment and intervention.
What do you think is the link between vaping products that have been laced with THC? Does it appear that most of those who become ill to the point where they're hospitalized have used vaping products laced with THC?
Mm-hmm. We, as part of our transparency about like what we know, what we don't know, so that people have full awareness of the investigation, we in late August identified that about 89% of our cases here 89. In Wisconsin were THC. It was part of what they were vaping. It was part of the product. It's about 80% in Illinois. So a little different in different states.
89 cases out of.
I'm sorry, 89% of the cases.
89% of how many cases?
At the time, it was 53.
Okay.
We obviously release that information to the public because, you know, we want people to have all the information so they can be cautious as they are making decisions about what they're gonna do. Obviously, kids under 18 shouldn't be vaping at all, but this THC was an added piece of information that we wanted to get out to the public. I think what we don't know, because there still are 11% who don't report having vaped THC. Is it that they don't want to come clean about that? Mm-hmm. Is it that they really didn't? We think that one of the more recent deaths was a vaping a nicotine only. So we really don't know what the connection between the THC is and the lung disease more broadly. We see it in the majority of the cases, but we don't have enough information yet to rule in or out THC as the specific cause. So we continue to be transparent and to make sure people have as much information as we have so that they can protect themselves and their kids.
Do medical professionals and law enforcement officers suspect a nexus because there were two brothers just mm-hmm. arrested mm-hmm. And federally charged mm-hmm. with lacing vaping products mm-hmm. with THC? Mm-hmm. Have you heard any speculation that that's maybe why it started in such high numbers here mm-hmm. in Wisconsin? Mm-hmm.
Well, it certainly is one of the more recent leads that we have as we're trying to chase this down to the root cause. And we have been in touch with Kenosha authorities to try to share information, to try to share product, because that's one of the things we're doing. As we talk to patients, sometimes they voluntarily provide unused product to us, and
yes.
we are having those products analyzed. FDA is helping us do that work, and so we've been in touch with them. We will continue to work with them, but it is a lead that we are pursuing to try to help us know more about what's really going on.
I think it's interesting to look at what your agency has reported, where these cases of hospitals of the illness have shown up. And so as we look at that map, thanks for your agency for providing it.
Mm-hmm.
south of Highway 10, and especially in southeast Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on why there mm-hmm. and not so much in northern Wisconsin? Mm-hmm. Of course, that's a largely rural area. Mm-hmm. Thoughts on why in these regions?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the date on this map is. I think we are now up to 38 counties.
Yes.
But you're right. The preponderance have been in the southeast corner of the state. I don't think we know for sure what the particular geographic link is, but we continue to try to make sure that clinicians all across the state are aware and looking for signs and symptoms, again, so that we can not see a death here in the state of Wisconsin.
I think it's fair to say the leader in this industry has been Juul, but there have been other companies that have sold vaping products. And I guess my question is, do you think Juul and other industry companies have engaged in criminal conduct by mm-hmm. by targeting teens with cigarettes with flavors like, let me get this right, Swedish Fish and Pink Lemonade? Mm-hmm. Criminal conduct? Mm-hmm.
I'm not a lawyer. I'm not certainly one to judge that. I think what we are concerned about, as you have articulated, is that these flavors are highly attractive to kids. You know, that legally, like cigarettes, you're not supposed to sell products to those under 18. You need to have ID, proof of age, to buy e-cigarettes, just like regular
tobacco.
And the
age tobacco. Is what? The
18,
yes.
Yep. So, you know, kids are getting them. They're getting them in convenience stores, in grocery stores, and wherever they are for sale. So I think we probably need to think about enforcement of those age restrictions, so that we are making sure to reduce youth use as much as is in our control. And again, continue to work with parents so they know what to be on the lookout for, know how to talk to their kids about it, and be good partners to them in helping make sure we don't have another generation addicted to nicotine.
Is Wisconsin doing any, I'm going to use the term sting operations, because I've seen the reports from state or local agencies where they go in and try to have someone underage mm-hmm. buy mm-hmm. cigarettes. Mm-hmm. Are we doing that with mm-hmm. e-cigarettes and vaping products?
Mm-hmm. I know that at the federal level, FDA has a program that they do nationwide that is both cigarettes and traditional cigarettes. DOR here in the state of Wisconsin is our enforcement arm as it relates to underage purchase.
Yes.
And so I just don't know off the top of my head. I assume that they are because, like cigarettes, you're not supposed to purchase them under the age of 18, but I don't know specifics about the program that they're operating.
Okay, now let's talk about how your agency is playing offense in the public awareness. Mm-hmm. Let's show about 40 seconds worth of one of your PSAs, mm-hmm. please.
Electronic cigarettes. In so many styles, it's hard to keep track. In Wisconsin, vaping is more popular with kids than old-fashioned cigarettes. But just like cigarettes, if it's got nicotine in it, it's addictive. Some people struggle their whole lives to quit. I don't want that for my kids. So what can a parent do? Start by learning more about the new tobacco products out there. Get involved and make sure your kids know sweet flavors don't make tobacco products any safer or less addictive. Tobacco's changing, parents. We've got to keep up.
Your agency has created some very, I think pretty effective PSAs. How can a parent who's worried, how can they access it? Where do they have to go? Mm-hmm. Plug the website.
All right. So DHS has a campaign called Tobacco is Changing, and we have a specific website, tobaccoischanging.com, where those PSAs, as well as a number of resources and toolkits, everything from pictures of what the new kinds of products look like to tips to how to engage in a conversation with your child about the use of e-cigarettes and the potential implications for youth and the health, potential health consequences. And so we are very hopeful that, and I appreciate you letting us plug it, because the more folks who know that it's there and available to them and use it, I think the less anxiety parents will have about not knowing what to do in this space.
Well, having raised three kids and now a few teenage grandchildren when they come to a parent and say, "Well, what would you rather I did? Smoke cigarettes or e-cigarettes?" What's your answer, mm-hmm. Secretary?
Mm-hmm. So what we know about nicotine is that
none of the above.
Right.
Oh, excuse me. Go ahead.
No, absolutely.
That was too glib an answer on my part. Go
no,
ahead.
No, maybe they'd listen to you more than they would listen to me.
I don't think so.
Because the answer I give is about the developing brain, and at that point they're probably not listening anymore. But what we know is that nicotine is harmful to the developing brain, and kids aren't fully their brain is not fully developed till they're 25. It can impact your ability to learn, your memory. It can impact your behaviors, and so. We really do not recommend that that kids and young adults use nicotine products because we need them to grow to their full potential. And a lifetime of addiction to nicotine and potentially the use of combustible products and whatever we don't know about the health consequences of e-cigarettes will lead to can lead to a lifetime of illness that is painful and reduces your quality of life and can be costly to you and your family as well as to society. So I think just don't do it.
What about a 16-year-old sibling saying, come on, older brother, come on, older sister, you're 18. What's the harm in buying me a few vaping products? Mm-hmm. That's gone on. It's going on now.
For generations.
So how do you break that chain?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think what we know is that parents who talk to their kids have a much higher success rate, whether it's with nicotine products, alcohol, other substances, that having open lines of communication, a good relationship, expectations about not being involved in those kinds of behaviors are really important pieces of helping kids be successful and grow up healthy. And so I would encourage parents to get involved and model good behavior for the 18-year-old who might be tempted to buy for the 16-year-old.
What signs are you seeing that parents are really concerned and getting the message that they have to have some type of a discussion with their teens?
Mm-hmm. So I think one of the important things we've seen in this investigation is the engagement of parents as we have talked to young adults who are suffering. And they, not in a non-judging, full disclosure, supporting my kid kind of way have been really helpful in us uncovering the THC link or getting unused product or a partially used product for testing. And so I think, we're hopeful that this is something that is a lesson for all of us, that supporting our kids to do the right thing, to walk the walk when it comes to nicotine products will help us all, build a generation ahead of us who is not addicted to these
products. Is the agency going to create a new PSA mm-hmm. with a teen who has survived this mm-hmm. VAPI illness mm-hmm. saying, it almost killed me, I have diminished lung capacity, don't do it? Mm-hmm. Is that mm-hmm. contemplated?
Mm-hmm. Maybe it should be, Steve. Maybe somebody's sliding you a 20 for your good ideas. I think we've seen kids in the press who have done exactly what you're saying. Whether we'll do a PSA specifically, I don't have particular knowledge of, but I certainly think it's an idea worth looking at.
Okay, let's move forward. Should the legislature consider any new restrictions on vaping products in the fall session or the spring session? Mm-hmm. If so, What changes?
Mm-hmm. So I think there are a number of bills that have been floating around even before this outbreak that sort of surfaced late July, early August. We are very interested in working with the legislature in a bipartisan way to find solutions that really move the needle. I think we also, as a result of this outbreak, are looking at our own authorities and our own levers to see how we can be doing a better job on the policy side to be addressing this concern. But it may mean that we need to come forward with some ideas ourselves that we'll need to work with the legislature on enacting. But this is a real focus of ours right now. Outreach, education, really important. The clinician side of this, making sure they know the signs and the symptoms and getting to treatment as quickly as possible. But then on the policy side, how do we get in front of this so that we don't see it again?
Do we need a law that says you should be 21 to buy a vaping product?
Mm-hmm. Those bills are certainly circulating. The governor has indicated just last week that he was open to raising the age of sale from 18 to 21. So we absolutely are interested in working on a package that might include that kind of restriction. We need to look at all the ideas. We need to figure out, as I mentioned, what moves the lever the most so that we don't see this problem ever again.
I'm interested in some of the other national developments. Governor Cuomo of New York is drafting an emergency rule that mm-hmm. would ban the sale of flavored cigarettes. Mm-hmm. Michigan has also done that. Mm-hmm. The Trump administration has said, we want to get to a point to ban flavored e-cigarettes. Mm-hmm. What options do you think Governor Evers might have? Mm-hmm. Do you think, is the agency studying whether the governor might have the ability to issue an order banning flavored e-cigarettes?
Yeah, we absolutely are looking at all of our authorities, whether it's administrative regulatory authorities, whether it's the need for different legislative authorities. But we are pursuing all of those avenues now so that we can present to him what his options might be for his consideration. But we're looking at everything. But I think, every state has its own statutory framework. They've been given different authorities by their own legislature. And so what Michigan can do, what authorities mm-hmm. they have may be different than us, may be different from New York. I think the ideas that will bubble up, and we should be looking at what other states are doing, will be similar, but how the vehicle by which you get them across the finish line will likely be different in different states.
Have you asked your agency's legal counsel to research what options the governor might have through a executive order?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our team, including our legislative counsel, the policy folks, the legislative counsel, are all looking at options together as a team so that we can make sure we're making the best, giving the governor the best advice.
This issue now has become critical. It's a critical health issue. Do you think it's going to get worse? Are we tragically might see the first death in Wisconsin mm-hmm. from vaping-related illness?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
Have we hit bottom, or we got? Well, is it going to get worse?
I mean, I think the numbers are trending up, right? We're over 600 cases now nationwide. As more and more clinicians know what they're looking for, I think you will continue to see an increase in those numbers. I think the benefit of us raising the alarm and starting the campaign to raise awareness is that hopefully we flatline the number of deaths because clinicians have an awareness of what to look for and that antibiotics aren't working, but steroids are. Those public health, the public health team that has helped figure this out has done a real service to clinicians around the country. And so hopefully, I think you could see a rise in the number of cases as people recognize what they're looking at, but mm-hmm. that we hopefully will see not an increase or a dramatic increase in deaths because we now have some better guidance on how to treat it.
Okay, let's end it this way. Your elevator speech for parents and teens on vaping. Go.
Don't do it. If you're under 18, don't do it.
But all my friends do it, and I can have access to it. Mm-hmm. Who are you to? Okay, message simply, don't do it.
Yeah, it's not safe.
Andrea Palm, Secretary of the Department of Health Services.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in on such an important issue. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
Thanks.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civic broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol. Wisconsin Eye would not exist without generous donors like you. Please visit wiseye.org to make a donation today.